All right. Welcome to the Red Pill Plus podcast. And again, we're giving you a double feature tonight with Red Pill Plus, that's hard to say, podcast, and the Doc Washburn Show. Doc is on a hiatus because of a flood at his studio. And so all of his stuff is having to be reconfigured and redone. But we got some great announcements that are hopefully coming up in the real near future. A lot of exciting things. So I'm sorry that you have to put up with me. Doc is the pro. I'm the amateur. But you guys have been so gracious and so good to support us. Yesterday was one of our biggest days in downloads in quite a while. Just can't thank you enough. So we wanted to jump back on here tonight. I was going to do a podcast last night because I'm trying to do one just about every day or every night. And I was just worn out last night. Usually I stay up super late, and I ran out of gas. I just went to bed. So anyway, here I am. It's 1:07 a.m. on Friday morning, March 22nd, here in Little Rock. Wherever you are, and thank you so much. We have people listening all over the United States, all over the world. We have people in Sweden and Denmark, Greece, Italy, the UK, Zambia. We have people in the Cameroon. We have people in Germany. And I'm gonna miss so many countries. I think we have I forgot how many countries we have listening right now. And then virtually every state. Just thank you. Thank you so much. And I want to say, and we owe a profound apology. We have so many people that are so gracious and good to us to do the Super Chats or to do the Patreon, give us your hard-earned money. We have people give us the 5, the 10s. The 20s, the 50s, the 100s, the 150s, 500s, and thank you, thank you, thank you. That makes it so that we can do this show, and I feel like we have not done right by you by thanking you like we should have, and we're working right now to kind of get that system to where we can let you know personally thank you for supporting us, and then also we're going to be doing some special times where just are the people that support us individually, and all of you are so great to support us by listening. So we are very thankful for you, and we are very thankful for our sponsors, Red River Auto, RedRiverAuto.com, and then our Purpose Media Publishing.com. Thank you to both of these tremendous sponsors. We appreciate you so, so very much. We are a part of the Doc Washburn Podcast Network. A part of that network is, of course, the Red Pill Plus Podcast. And I am your host, Donnie Copeland, founder of that show, and the Doc Washburn Show by the renowned and nationally known Doc Washburn. And then also we have a phenomenal new podcast called the Medicare Fundcast. So if you know someone that is looking and interested in what the ins and outs of Medicare, Part B and Part C and Part A and D and all that stuff, you'll want to listen to the Medicare Fundcast by Brian Coolis. But not only the bonus in that with that podcast is not only is it tremendously educational when it comes to Medicare, but Brian does these phenomenal interviews with these just phenomenally interesting people. He was a longtime DJ at KVIL, or was in production at KVIL. KVIL with Ron Chapman was a DJ in Colorado and Phoenix. As soon as you hear his voice, he and Doc are radio guys. I am not. And you can tell when you listen to those guys' voices. But you have me, and you've been so kind to listen. Tell somebody else about the show. Tonight I want to talk to you about a subject that, in fact, something that just happened right here in Little Rock yesterday. And that was another curious death by the ATF. Another curious death by the ATF. I mean, how many times has this got to happen, right? ATF, you're not familiar with them. That is the, what is it, the federal alcohol, tobacco force, and they primarily deal with guns. And over the last 4 years especially, but really in the last 20 years, they've dealt with doing away with guns, except for when they want to, they want to promote guns to Mexican cartels. And I'm going to go through a litany of bamboozles, that's probably not the right word, snafus. Someone told me the other day that's a bad snafu stands for something really bad. But, you know, you and I probably use it as just, you know, a mess up. We don't think of it as, or don't know that it's something bad. But anyway, that's what someone told me. Does Ruby Ridge, does that ring a bell? ATF and FBI. Waco, ATF, FBI. Fast and Furious, ATF, FBI. More ATF than FBI. And so the latest is Brian Malinowski. I believe it's Malinowski. M-A-L-I-N-O-W-S-K-I. Brian Malinowski. Not a Russian mobster. Not a kingpin, drug kingpin that we know of. And pretty safe to say that. 54-year-old Brian Malinowski, who was the executive director of the Little Rock Airport. Okay? So here's a guy who is a high-level executive, making in excess of $250,000 a year as the executive director of the Little Rock Airport. And so what happened? So yesterday morning, about 6 a.m., the ATF, and these are reports by his neighbors, okay? And I'm going to get into the warrant that actually, I went through that warrant tonight, page by page, and quite a few interesting things there. What is fascinating is what's not there. I want to start with something that his brother said. His brother, Brian Malinowski's brother, and I think they're from Pennsylvania, maybe, is where they're from originally. But this is a quote from his brother. It says, "Something stinks to high hell. Brother of a Little Rock airport director shot by ATF. Agent speaks out on shooting." And then let me read this to you. The brother of Little Rock Airport executive, Brian Malinowski, shot by federal agents serving a search warrant, says he is fearful his brother may not survive, and he later did die, was shot in the head twice from what I've heard. Brian Malinowski, 53, was injured in a shootout with agents from Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives at his West Little Rock home. Very affluent area, very nice. The probably nicest area other than Edge Hill where all the, you know, the Dillards and all the Stevens and all them live. His older brother, Matthew Malinowski, told NBC News reporter Dion Hampton that the family was not sure if the Clinton National Airport executive director was going to survive, and he didn't, while confirming that his brother was shot in the head during the exchange of gunfire. ATF officials said the agents were serving a search warrant at the home in the 100 block of Durance Court just after 6 a.m. The agent said Brian Malinowski fired at them from inside the home. I'm going to address that here in just a moment. At which point they returned fire. One ATF agent suffered non-life-threatening injury and was hospitalized. Matthew Malinowski questioned why agents came to his brother's home so early in the morning and did not approach him at the airport, claiming instead that the agents broke down his door, leaving his brother no choice but to defend himself. There's something fishy here. The ATF went after him in the worst possible way, he told NBC News reporter Dion Hampton. There's no reason why they couldn't have arrested him at work at the airport. So here's the thing. Matthew Malinowski is not saying that it's impossible that Brian Malinowski did something wrong. And here's the thing, and we're going to go through the warrant, but this is definitely a trend with the ATF. There's no doubt about it. That this is a trend with them. This is something that they tend to have a problem with. And so when you look at that warrant, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on the warrant because it's really a bunch of nothing, but let me give you, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you some history about the ATF. And then once I give you some history, we'll kind of briefly, we'll close out by going through this warrant and seeing why they were coming after him. Bureau of Alcohol, this is a great piece that I found on ammo.com, and it is the history of the ATF, how the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms became corrupt and abusive. It talks about Ruby Ridge, it talks about the Waco, it talks about the Fast and Furious scandal, which what they got a warrant to search Brian Malinowski's home for, they did in spades. So that there's that. In this article, it says Roman Poet Juvenal once posted an important and famous question about powerful justice officers. Quis dustedit espus custodes? Who is to guard the guardians? All told, there are over 20,000 firearm laws and regulations on the books at the state and federal level. Many of these contradict each other or are written with a lot of room for interpretation. Gun owners and gun dealers are easy prey for corrupt and lawless federal agencies that want to twist its arm outside the bounds of the law. And it's that is so very true. Long history of Ruby Ridge and Waco. The next big chapter is ATF history with sieges of Ruby Ridge 1992, Waco in 1993. These events led directly to the bombing of the federal building in Oklahoma City. Not justifying that, not saying, but even that's very suspicious. The siege at Ruby Ridge was a site of 11-day standoff between the ATF and Randy Weaver. If you remember, they executed Randy Weaver's wife, and I believe son. In fact, they shot Weaver's dog, then they shot his 14-year-old son in the back, and then shot his wife while she held their infant child. This siege at Waco, if you remember, they basically burned, 82 Branch Davidians alive. You know, they were basically gunned down and burned to death. And then they have, you know, they have just upped the ante. And the thing is, you hear about the ATF, like this Brian Malinowski, who is an executive. You'd have to I'd have to show you where he lived. And that doesn't mean somebody can't be a criminal. But this guy was the executive, the top guy at the Little Rock Airport, 54 years of age, very professional. And so you think, well, why would he get in a shootout with cops? Well, if you look at that, go back and you look at the warrant. The warrant was what they call a daytime warrant. So they did not have permission to approach his house at night. However, they did that warrant had a time element from 6 a.m. to, I believe, 10 p.m. was the time element or range. It had, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. So it had to be executed within that time. They're called daytime warrants, so it's not, you know. So, but what they did, they according to his brother, they kicked down his door. And just think about this. This guy is an executive. He's not some thug running drugs. He's an executive making $250,000 a year. Lives in a beautiful home out in West Little Rock, which is the cat's meow of Central Arkansas. And someone kicks down your door at 6 a.m. in the morning. So, you know, he comes up, guns blazing, because he thinks probably he's being attacked. Now, we don't know if they identify themselves. We don't know exactly what happened. The ATF is purporting that Brian Malinowski shot at them first. I don't know that that's not true. I don't know that is true, because we'll probably never see the personal cam footage, the officer cam footage of that is my inclination. In fact, they didn't even want to show the warrant till someone filed suit and got the warrant. They weren't going to show the warrant. Then when they did release the warrant today, it was so redacted. It's got just most of it is there. A lot of information is redacted. And mostly, I have to be fair and say that most of it is protecting people, institutions, specific individuals and corporations. Here's the thing. Here's a summation of the warrant. The warrant said the reason we want to do this is because this guy's bought a lot of firearms and claimed that he was not going to resell them, and he did resell them. Okay, I'm not that up on gun laws that specific, so I don't know if that's accurate or not. I can't speak to that. But you'll hear on the news, it sold 150 guns that have been used in crimes. Well, let's back up. He did sell 142 guns over 4 years' time. So how many guns is that? Less than 40. 4 times 40 is 160. So what, 35? It's 120. Yeah, 37, 38 guns, something like that, that he had sold per year. So what's that, 3 a month? He made a lot of gun shows, sold them. The other thing that there's about numerous reasons they gave the judge for the warrant, that he had sold 142 guns in 4 years' time and didn't have a license to sell. But from my understanding, because he was selling to individuals, and I could be wrong here, but I don't know that he was doing anything illegal there, but I could be wrong. Just like if I had a shotgun and I want to sell it to you, I could sell it to you. I wouldn't have to have a firearms license to do that. Also, he was selling at gun shows, and I would think, just thinking out loud here, that a gun show, not to get in trouble, would require, if a license to sell guns was required, then he would not have been given a table to sell at the gun show. And maybe he was selling under somebody else's license at the gun show. That was not made clear in the affidavit or in the search warrant application to the judge. Excuse me, I got a sip of coffee there. So 142 guns over 4 years, okay? Of those 142 guns, 6 guns were used in, let me back up. Three guns were used in crimes. But hold on. The six guns are listed. Three of those guns were bought by undercover agents where he didn't, they didn't present identification, but he contended when he's talking to someone that he didn't have to ask for or have anybody fill out applications because all he had to ask if they were 21. He knew the law because he would tell these informants and different ones. And the ATF got to where they would send people in to buy guns from him. He's buying guns at gun shows. He's meeting people in parking lots and selling guns. You know, that can sound notorious. That can sound, but a lot of people sell a lot of stuff. You know, a lot of people sell golf clubs by the trunk loads. And a lot of people sell, fishing equipment. A lot of people sell boats, buy them during the winter and sell them in the summer or spring. You know, he sold guns. He liked guns, I guess. So I want to be careful. Not, oh man, he must have been doing something wrong. He sold 142 guns, or he bought 142 guns. We bought more of that, but he sold 142 in 4 years. Yeah, he was a gun collector. He sold guns. I guess he did pretty well at it. I don't know why he was selling that many guns. It doesn't matter. It was his right. He could do what he wanted to do. Three of those guys that bought guns were arrested. Two were pulled over. I found this fascinating. There were six. Let me back up. There were six. Five of the six. Now get this. And if this didn't seem curious to you, then, you know, maybe it's just me. But five of the six were pulled over with marijuana and found to have a gun, which happened to be guns that he had sold to somebody. So out of six guns, out of 142 that were used in the commission of crime, five of those were traffic stops where the officer smelled marijuana, which it was in Arkansas. Arkansas has their own dispensaries or government-issued license for marijuana dispensaries. Why are you still arresting people for marijuana? You sell it. It's ridiculous. So five of the six were pulled over for suspicious activity. I'm using air quotes here. And found to have been in possession of marijuana, which the state sells marijuana. So you can be arrested for having marijuana, smoking marijuana in your car, but the state can sell it to you. You can't make this stuff up, folks. So when I say the state issues license to a handful of people, and then they make a ton of tax dollars off of it. So, and then these five of the six were found to have a handgun. And then the sixth one was a juvenile in California who was actually arrested and was involved in a shooting. I don't know that anybody was shot, but that doesn't matter. I mean, still violent criminal behavior. So I'm not condoning that whatsoever. But a 15-year-old juvenile in California was arrested at a shootout in a park and found he had a gun, and that gun was sold to him three or four people removed, from what I understand, not directly, from Malinowski. And it found its way to California. Now, it sounds like to me with five, there's one or two possibilities. Five of the six were found on dope smokers carrying a gun. So there's one or two, and then the sixth one was a Hispanic male, 15, in California, in a shootout in a park during a robbery. So it sounds like to me he had made a connection with possibly gang members, and because one guy was buying a ton of guns from him. I bet 20 or 30, he's known as witness one in the affidavit. He bought probably at least 20 or 30 guns, pretty close. So, yeah, is that suspicious? Sure. I 100%. But isn't the ATF the same agency that sold guns to gang members in Mexico, and one of those guns actually killed a federal border patrol officer? Have I got that right? Am I saying that right? Yeah, I'm saying it exactly right. So this guy gets arrested for selling guns to this witness one, who is distributing them, selling them, whatever. And now, none of this is proven. This is all in the affidavit, because we don't know any of the actual. We're hearing it from one place, the media, and a federal agency. So strike one, strike two, right? Three, four, and five as well. So you kick down his, according to his brother. Oh, by the way, the affidavit, I'm sorry, the application for a warrant to the judge, federal judge, was not a no-knock warrant. At least nowhere on the warrant that I saw, 42 pages, was there anything about a no-knock warrant. According to his brother and some of the neighbors, they kicked down, or, you know, whatever they do with the big heavy bar, crash bar, whatever, they knocked the door off the hinges and went in, you know. They claim he shot first. I don't have any reason to believe that. I don't have any reason not to believe that. I'll put it that way. If I was going to believe somebody, I'd believe a citizen over a federal agency, but that's just me. But anyway, they say he fired first, so obviously they killed him. So you find it just a little curious, and just to kind of surmise this, you find it a little curious with all the notorious gang members, all the people being raped and murdered, all the gangs running rampant throughout the United States, that they would pick an executive, this white, lily white guy with red hair that's 54 years old, highly successful, selling guns at gun shows, doing his thing, you know, living the American dream. They kicked down his door, not a no-knock warrant, but allegedly kicked down his door. He comes up. You know, still dark. At 6 a.m., it's still dark. And that was a daytime warrant. But technically, 6 a.m. is the first hour of the day, so they could technically go in at 6 a.m. But Bud Cummins, and I don't know Bud. I don't even know him. I know him from a distance. I know people that knows him. I think I may have talked to Bud one or two times. But anyway, he was former... federal attorney. I forgot what they call those, but you know, you have a district attorney for different federal districts. U.S. attorney, thank you. And but now he's a defense attorney, and he is defending or representing rather Brian Malowski's family. And his only comment was, our main comment was, this is super, super curious. Now, as always happens with when the federal government, especially FBI, ATF is involved, anytime there is something like this that happens, there's always things that you didn't hear, that you didn't know, I didn't hear, I didn't know. And so right now it sounds really suspect for, you know, and the Brian Malinowski, you know, the narrative is he had it coming. You know, he shot at us and we killed him. And he was selling guns to drug dealers. And, you know, he was a bad guy. Here's what I wonder. And this is just a little free musing here, okay? I wonder if there's not a similarity between the arrest of January 6th participants that were arrested, political prisoners that are still in prison. Many of them have never even had a bail hearing. It's been it's been 1,000 days. It's been 3.5 years. And they still don't have even a bond hearing. But you know what that does when you arrest 1,000 people, between 800 and 900 people, and you stick them in jail for 4 years without even a bond hearing, it's a dog whistle to the rest of the country. Don't protest. Don't let us know how you feel because we don't care. I just wondering here if you miscalculate and you underestimate how corrupt the U.S. government is if you don't think this is at least plausible, that Brian Malinowski is collateral damage to warn you to be careful about having a gun. I mean, we all know that the ATF, we all know that the Biden, I don't even want to call it a Biden administration because it's so illegitimate. It's such a farce. It's such a absolute joke. Illegitimate in every way. But this show of a administration, which is beneath them to even call it that. If you don't think they would execute a guy like Brian Malinowski and say, be careful, you gun enthusiasts, be careful you guys going to gun shows. If you don't think they would calculate and say, okay, here's a guy. Did he do something wrong? I don't know. You know, we didn't get a chance to have a trial. He was executed or at least killed under very suspicious circumstances. I'll put it that way. But that's a dog whistle in my mind to you and I is don't, you know, stay away from the gun shows. Stay away from the gun shops. It's a lesson to the rest of us. Man, if they'd shoot and kill the CEO of the Little Rock airport, you think they wouldn't mess with a peon like you or me? 100%. That was a lesson. It was a life lesson by the federal government. And so there'll be more come out on this. You know, we may not ever, like Fast and Furious, may not ever know the full truth, the real truth. And goodness knows the Republican Party's not going to. They're going to talk about it. And they're going to beat the desk. And they're going to have 400 hearings about it. But at the end of the day, they are not going to do jack squat. You and I both know that. So for all of you that are listening, whether you're in the United States, all those in other countries, pray for us, would you? Because I'm telling you, you used to look at us, years ago as the beacon of hope. Ronald Reagan talked about the city set on a hill. But, you know, I love America. I'm thankful to be here. But I don't think it's not the country it once was. And it is a very, very corrupt place. Very corrupt. And probably much more corrupt than you and I could even imagine. And I quite honestly think these just all these agencies running rampant and just blank checks to write for whatever they want, and judges just give them warrants for whatever they want. So the ATF wasn't chasing notorious criminals. They weren't chasing notorious drug dealers. They weren't kicking down the doors of rapists and murderers that had guns illegally. No, they kicked down the door of a 54-year-old executive who bought and sold 38 guns a year as a hobby, and they shot him in the head and killed him. So, Curious, Ruby Ridge, Waco, Fast and Furious, move over. There's now the Little Rock case of airport executive Brian Malinowski, possibly executed by the ATF. Hey, it has been a pleasure to have you join me here tonight. Again, mark my words. This is not my first rodeo. Mark my words. There will be more come out on the story that will make what I said tonight make more and more sense. Hope you have a phenomenal weekend. I may try to jump back on tomorrow night and we'll spend a little time together. Thank you again, all of you that give through Patreon, those that that support our sponsors. Don't forget, if you're looking to publish a book, PurposeMediaPublishing.com. Also, you're looking for a car, Red River Auto, RedRiverAuto.com. For Doc Washburn and the Doc Washburn Show, for Donnie Copeland and the Red Pill Plus podcast, for Brian Coolis and the Medicare Fundcast, we thank you from the bottom of our heart for all of your support. Make sure you tell somebody else about the show. We've got some great things coming in the near future. We're looking so forward to letting you know about those things. We're looking forward to a phenomenal new site that we're working on that I think you're going to be able to go to one place and get all your largest influencers, get all the major stories. And we're going to be doing news and sports right at the Red Pill Report or whatever we call it. But it's going to be, I think you're going to love it. It's going to be kind of an aggregate site. It's the Drudge Report without the anti-Trump bias. So keep listening. We're going to be, we'll be telling you more about it in the coming days. This is Donnie Copeland for the Red Pill Plus podcast and the Doc Washburn Show, thanking you so very much. God bless you and Godspeed.